Thank the Lord. Brother Gary, if you don't mind coming up, brother, and help us with the offering. Praise the Lord. When we all get there, amen, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Precious Lord Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, for the offering this day, Lord Jesus. We pray you bless every hand that's able to give this morning, Lord. And please use it, Lord, for your honor and your glory. We thank you, Lord, for the service, and we commit the remainder of the service into your hands, Lord. Help us all, Lord, just to be better stewards of everything, Lord, you've given us, Lord, on this life's journey. We love you, Lord. We commit it in your hands in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. He is my amen, everything. Amen, 417. Amen. Let's try that. Amen. 417. Is he everything to you? Amen. Your life, your breath, everything. He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave it. My everything, he is my all. with all your heart. Yes.
Oh, he is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, Lord, both great and small. He gave himself for me. He made everything new. He is my everything. None other will do.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Amen. Is he everything? He is my all. Amen. That word all has a new meaning to me after hearing the messages that we've been hearing. He is our all in all. Amen. Everything. And that song says both great and small, the smallest things to the greatest things that the Lord has done. Oh, it's all his doing. Amen. And we recognize that and we thank the Lord for that. Amen. As a result, we want God's way to be our way. 521. As we journey here below. There's no other highway that a child of God shall go. The road is not always easy.
Right.
Amen. No, no, it's not always easy. But if he leads us, it's enough. Yes. Praise the Lord.
I want God's way to be my way as I journey here below. For there is no child of God should go, and though the road be steep and rough, if he leads me, it's enough. I want God's way to be my way every day.
That's your prayer?
Oh, I want God's way to be my way as I journey here below. For there is no other highway that a child of God should go. And though the road be steep and rough, if he leads me, it's enough. My way every day. Oh, I want God's way to be my way as I journey here below. For there is no other highway that a child of God should go. And though the
the Lord, that's our desire. Amen.
Amen.
Let's try 63. Give me that old time religion. Amen. So much changing. We want that old time religion. Amen. To stay on that path by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Start with the chorus.
Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It's the old time Holy Spirit, and the devil won't go near it. That's the reason people fear it, but it's good enough for me. So give me that old time religion. Oh, give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough. save you when you're dying. It will start the devil flying, and it's good enough for me. So give me that old time religion. Oh, give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It's so good I want no other. Yes, it makes me love my brother, and it brings things from undercover, and it's good enough for me. So give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It will make you stop your lying. It will save you when you're dying. It will thwart the devil flying. And it's good enough for me. Oh, give me that old time. It's good enough for me. Let's just clap it. Amen. Is it good enough for you? Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. I can't think of it. I'm now 40 years old, and thank the Lord I was born in this message. And early on, you know, I used to have, when I was real little, I would have nightmares. But I found a trick. Wasn't a trick. I would take the tapes and take the covers out with the pillar of fire and put that in my pillow. And I didn't have nightmares. Amen. So that's what I mean, old-time religion. I'm not getting away from that by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for this gospel, this message, and for all that the Lord has done for us. It's a glorious thing that we have. And just hearing the promises of our Lord and what lies ahead, my gosh, we don't want to miss that for nothing in this world. Amen. Glory. Let's just change the order of the service as we get ready for our brother to come out. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you, Lord. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. See you. Yes, Lord. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, Lord, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy. And lift it up, oh, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Amen.
Holy, holy.
Holy, holy. Amen. You love the Lord? God bless each and every one of you for being here. We really deem it a privilege to be in the house of the Lord. It could be a lot of other places, but this is a good place to be. Amen. While you're standing up, let's go ahead and turn to the book of Colossians. And one. And remember, next Saturday's a Bible study. The next Sunday will be the spring, or next Saturday, the 13th, will be the spring fling. And then the next Saturday and Sunday, that's Easter weekend. And myself and Brother Bob, I think maybe Brother Luis, are going down to Brother Matthew Bray's in Mobile. So we'll be in Mobile that weekend. So just keep us in your prayers. And then the next weekend, I'll be at Brother Dutch Scott's. He called, wants me to come down there. He's going to be gone for 2 weeks, helping his daughters move from New York to California. So keep him in your prayers. Yeah, he's a little nervous about it too, but they took on a job, and that's where they're getting moved to. So you just pray that everything will work out fine. So Lord knows all things. I'm like Brother Anderson. When he goes to California for work, he said, I don't stay that long. I can see why. We don't want to stay there too long. Is it the earth starts shaking? But today we're just going to read a couple of one scripture, one quote, and then we'll get into our trip and tell you some things that have come from it. So let's just bow our heads and pray before we get started. We know there's a lot of people out. A lot of people traveling, like I said, Brother Joe and all, some of them are going on vacation this week, so we just want to pray for traveling mercies. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, today that you would take care of us. Here, Lord, it's this time we set aside, Lord, to talk about you, Lord, and the things that you're doing, Lord, around the world. We know that you're a universal God, but you're a personal God. You're just as much to them as they are to us, Lord. We all have the same Holy Ghost. Lord, we all have the same word, Father. Now, I pray that you would just anoint that vessel today, Lord, to speak about you. You do the speaking. You do the one that does the revealing, Father. And just for a few minutes, Lord, we'd like to tell our brothers and sisters, Lord, about the other brothers, sisters halfway around the world. Father, be with us. Forgive us of our sins. Be with the ones that are on the highways. Brother Bob, Brother Richard, all the different ones, Brother Luis. Just bless them and take care of them. Be with Brother Joe and them and all the ones that's going and taking a vacation this week, spring break with the kids. Lord, just bless the kids too, Lord. They'll be running all over the place. And Lord, I pray that you would just take care of them, keep them safe, Lord. Bring them back, Lord, safe in the fold. Father, just give us today our daily bread. Be with the missionaries on the foreign fields, Lord, that you'll give them fruit for their labor. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I was looking through the Bible, looking for a scripture to read before we get started. So I think this one is pretty. When we decided to go back to the Philippines, you know, we'd been 3 years ago, and we had preached at many places, and we were there for 3 weeks, and we got to go to more places than we did this time. But there was an urgency, I thought, even from talking with Brother Vernon, Brother Royal, Brother Danny, Brother Nestor, that there was a need to go and try to strengthen the brethren. You know, talk about the position. Give them some, not just, as they said, that wasn't vanilla ice cream. So, you know, vanilla's good, but vanilla's plain. So we wanted to kind of give them a little something else to chew on. But here, let's read this scripture. For this cause, this is Paul talking to the Colossians. For this cause, actually he's talking to Timothy. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. I'll read you one quote. I like this quote from Satan's Eden. Brother Branham's talking. He says, the thing of it is today we don't try to establish the word of God in the people's heart. That was 1965. Let's just read this. Today we don't try to establish the word of God in the people's heart. We are trying to establish ourselves. Churches are trying to establish the doctrine of the church in a person's heart. We are commanded to establish the word of God. Paul said, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man, that your faith might rest up in the knowledge of man, but I came to you in power and manifestation of the Holy Ghost, that your faith might rest in God. There you are. Man mustn't establish yourself. We find it amongst, let God do something for a person and send him out. You'll find every man trying to impersonate it. See, they're trying to establish themselves. Every man. I did this. Me, I, mine, my denomination, me, this. All right? Establishing themselves. What are we preaching about? Ourselves or the kingdom of God? Establish the word of God. This is what I like here. Establish the word of God. Take out the unbelief and establish the kingdom of God in a man's heart. And the kingdom of God cannot be established in a man's heart lest God made that man thus. All right? So we wanted to, that's what we wanted to do in the Philippines. It's not that they don't know the word, but it's like I told them that I was sorry that all the false doctrines they usually have on those in the Philippines come from America. And they agreed. Oh, yeah, it comes from here. This is where it comes from. Right. It comes straight from here because we've got all the knowledge and we've got all the books and we've got all the tapes. Brother Bob, thank you. God bless your heart. That's a good job. Bob never hands them to me like that. That's my little brother. I like that shirt. I'm going to get me a shirt like that. I like that shirt. It's a good color. Thanks for displaying it for everybody to see. So, but you know, you see people, you go to these different places, and first thing you hear is the doctrine.
Yeah, right.
We're battling. I mean, you know, it was two souls, seven thunder. It's over there. Two lords, and the one I told you the other day about 14 seals. There's a group that reads in Revelations 5. That there's seven seals on the outside of the book and seven seals on the inside. Yeah. Well, that's not even the way it reads. So their interpretation of the Bible was wrong. It reads there was written in and on the backside sealed with seven seals. So there's only seven seals, you know. So in one of the classes, I guess you might say, in Palawan is where that doctrine is the most prevalent. I took and did my little seal illustration, you know. But I told them, I said, look, there's only really one seal. And they'd really never seen it that way, where grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption. So there's really only one seal. And once that seal's open, it's you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. All right? So it's just really one seal. It's not 14. But they're 14. But see, there's always an angle to a false doctrine. Number one, a false doctrine establishes the person that brings the doctrine, not Christ. It always establishes and exalts that person, or you got to come to that group to get the other seven seals. We know Brother Brown preached seven seals. Well, we got a seven seal book, you know, the seal book, the book. But they've got the other seven. I say they, whoever these people are that's preaching it, they have the other seven, and you got to go to them to get that seven. So one thing's for sure, if you start excluding and doing the I, me, you got to come to me to hear this, you know one thing's for sure, that it's not God. If you have to go to that specific place and listen to that specific doctrine, then we know what that is. That's going toward a cult. So we tried to, while we were over there, I knew about the seven thunders. I mean, the 14 seals. But I had never met up with it until Brother Royal explained it to me. And then we just kind of covered it one day in one of the ministers' meetings. So, but let's get started. So the island of Manila, I think I didn't go over this a few years ago, but it's kind of strange. That The country of the Philippines is so spread out, there's 7,000 islands in the Philippines. 7,000 islands. 3,100 of them are inhabited. So you got from right here all the way down almost here to, I can't remember where that's at. But anyway, right here, all this is the Philippines. And you really can't see it because there's little islands stuck all over the place. These are your major big ones, but 3,000 of those islands are inhabited. So if you get anywhere, you got to go by boat or by airplane because you can't drive a car. You might get a car. I think you can down to right here, but you can't go to this island or this island or this island or that one or that one or that one or that one unless you fly or take a boat. And this is the island we were on, and I'll tell you about it in just a minute. If you want to leave, just leave that right there. But in Metro Manila is like Metro Atlanta. You got Atlanta, and then you got Metro Atlanta. Metro Manila has 12.8 million people in it. And I met every one of them. In a car on the road there. Listen, their transit system is good. And their bus system is good. It's worse than when you were over there because it was worse than when I was over there. They take, and their lanes are four lanes on one side and four lanes on the other. Then they got a pillar in the middle and they got cars above you. Yeah. But they take those four lanes and they make five lanes out of it. So it's five lanes of traffic all the time from Brother Vernon's church, which is in, go back to the other. In Metro Manila, which is just right this little spot right here, is where the four major message churches are. Brother Royals, Brother Royals a little further out, Brother Vernon, Brother Danny, and Brother Nestor. They're not but about 15 miles apart. It takes you an hour and a half to get to each one of them. Brother John knows, he's been there, he's smiling. Sister Alicia, they know, man, it's just pitiful. But you know, you think, well, there's like on our MARTA system in Atlanta, them trains run and there's not like five people on the whole train. Not there. They got a rapid transit and all you see is you see somebody and he's got a cup and he's up against the window. And you see his face and 500 other people's face. This thing is just packed full of people. And same way with the buses, and then here you are in a car, and then they have little motorcycles. Brother John, I told them, if in America, if they would get on, because what they do is you're sitting here parked like this, or yeah, about running about 2 miles an hour, and all of a sudden there comes a string of five motorcycles, and they come down through here, they turn in front of you, they go down a lane of cars, they go, I said, in America, if somebody was to drive by that, the next guy would see it, he'd purposely open his door. Yeah. Wouldn't he, Sue? Yes, ma'am. I tell you, American drivers, we couldn't make it too much over there. Yeah, somebody would open the door because it's just like little bees. You're sitting there parked and crammed in, and here they come. They come weaving in and out, and it's just, that's just the way it is. You know, and the smog is so bad, I'm wondering why in the world. But you know what? That's where God put them. That's where God put them because there's 12 million people. Just in that little dot, there's 12.8 million people. I mean, there's a lot of people scattered out on these islands. And once you get up here, we were up in here. This is where Mount Pinatubo is, right about here. We were up in here the second day. And the time before, we were over here in this part. This is where Dingalan is, where we established or paid for a church to be rebuilt over here. And several years ago. And then we really just stayed right in here this time. And actually, like I said, we went up here and then we come back. But those churches, with 300 to 400 people in each church, 300 to 400 people in each church, they only live 15 miles apart, but it takes them an hour and a half to get there. So, you know, we're happy because, see, y'all are about 15 miles maybe, right? Mm-hmm. Takes you about, 15 minutes to get there? Yeah. Nah. You'd go to another church that was closer to Commerce. If you were there, it blows your mind, you know. Yeah. But with all those, there's believers on pretty much every island, they say. This part of the island down here, roll it, screen down to here. Let me see this. Oh. Mindanao is probably the worst area to be in because this was a Muslim-controlled area for a long time. And now the Christians have started moving in, so there was a lot of guerrilla warfare and guerrilla fighting. But now, hey, they got a president now. Shoot first, ask questions later. He put a bounty on drug dealers. I don't know if y'all know that or not. He put a bounty on drug dealers, and they have killed drug dealers by the hundreds. And all you do is you just bring them in and prove that you killed them, and then you get like $1,000 or, well, pesos. But, yeah, I guarantee you one thing is what they said. They said, you won't see a man out on the street dealing drugs no more. If he's dealing drugs, he's found him a secret place. But you know what? It was so rampant till he had to do something, so that's what he did. And some love him, some hate him, kind of the way our president is. Some love him, some hate him, so who cares? But we were up there in Manila pretty much most of the time. Now, we're going to be in here later on. But let's go to the first slide. And also, I tell you, I didn't. I was going to bring you some money. They have their real big Spanish influence, and they go by the peso. So their pesos are 50 to 52 to 1. So every 50 pesos is one American dollar. And I'll tell you something, kids. If you go to Manila to get a job, which that's where most of the jobs, that's why everybody's crammed in there. When you go to Manila to apply for a job just at a, what they have is they have a McDonald's on about every three corners, and then they have a place called Jollibee's. You eat that, didn't you, Brother John? Brother John knows all this. He's been there. We conversed while y'all were all asleep. He was the only one awake, so me and him and Sister Alicia would talk. But there's a guy that said, well, if McDonald's is going to open on every three corners, I'm going to start a restaurant, and it's called Jollibee's. And it's basically a mirror image of McDonald's. But anyway, so we were there. This was the last time. I don't know if I told you, but I'll tell you again if I did. We walked into a Jollibee, and there was like 30 people, probably 18, 19 years old, sitting around with real nice clothes on and had a Manila folder in their hand like this. And then one or two would go in and come out. One or two would go in and come out. And I asked them, I said, what are they doing? They said, well, they're applying for a job at this fast food restaurant. They must prove they have a two-year college degree before they're even interviewed. Oh, my. Two-year college degree before Jollibee or McDonald's will even interview these people for a job. And they make about maybe $5 US a day. About 250 pesos a day. I think their average salary is like 1,500 to 1,600 pesos a week for a five-day week. So that's not much. But just they got to have a 2 years college degree, a 2 years degree. Prove they've been to college for 2 years just to get a job at a fast food restaurant. That's how competitive their job market is. All right. So, and then, you know, they're working for less than a dollar an hour, about a dollar an hour sometimes. So that's just thank God we live in America. We live in America. Amen. We might have the worst this, that, or the other, but I think I'll take here because there ain't no place like home. Somebody ought to write a song about that. There is no place like home. But you know what? It's nothing to them. It's their home too. So you respect that. But yeah, their economy's doing better. But once you get outside of Manila, it's not like us. You know, we can get outside of Atlanta and we still do okay. We're all right. And such, you know, if you think about it, think about even an average, you take an average salary here of $600 a week, you know, on a medium scale. That's 35,000 pesos a week. They ain't never seen 35,000 pesos in a month, much less a week. So, you know, they live together and live, you know, brother, Brother Vernon's kids, three of them got together, and instead of driving an hour and a half to work, which is only 8 miles, they all rent an apartment right where they work. So you got these big high-rise apartment places right there. And I think Brother John and Sister Alicia, I'm telling you, that place, the courtyard that you eat, man, that thing's nice. It's nice. But what they do is they come in and see we're 12 hours different. So their call centers, because some of the brothers and sisters work at the call center, their call center works at night because it's daylight over here. Because it today right now it's 10 minutes till 3 Monday morning over there. So they run their call centers at night over there because at midnight there it's 12 o'clock in the day over here. Well, that's when you get your calls. You don't want a call center to call you at midnight. Maybe once. But what they do is they have this building and then they have people that work in the morning, but then all them people leave. Well, when they leave, they turn the parking lot into just it looks like a festival. Tents and fire and fryers and mango shakes. Whew. Anyway, let's get back to the subject. But anyway, so this place, so they make this for the people that work at night and they come in and what they do is at about 5 o'clock in the morning, they have to pack all that up and move it somewhere else so the people can park there. So these are not restaurants that can stay there. They're restaurants that have to be mobile. So they have their grills and all their stuff, but it's a really, it's a nice place to eat, isn't it, Brother John? Good place to eat. And you worked not too far from there, didn't you? You were right there at the building. They showed me the building where you, yeah, Brother John could look down and see that. So, it was a good place to, good place to eat. So anyway, so let's get started. We took our flight. You can go ahead and pull the first picture up if you want to. So when I get to Brother Danny, so my flight was good. Everything was fine. I got my luggage that time. Amen. Didn't get it coming back. But this was waiting on me at Brother Danny Del Mundo's. I stayed at his house for a couple of nights. But we get in Friday night late, and his youngest daughter, which I'll show you in a minute, her name's Faith. Everybody remembers Brother Danny, a little short, real dark brother. Well, that's them over there. You can see them in the top. So they welcomed me with this platter, and Brother Danny called me the other day, and he said, we haven't erased that yet, so we want you to come back. So I think that's really neat. Everybody, Sister Isabella, she's kind of crafty in that way. So, but we went to Brother Danny's. We arrived Friday night. Saturday was kind of a, man, I had to get my 12 to 12 figured out. Brother John, how long did it take you to do that? A week? It took me about 3 days. Because, see, when you arrive there, I left Thursday morning. When I got there Friday, it was Friday night. So you go past the dateline. The national dateline is here, and the Philippines is right here. So they're in a different day than you are, you know, going around the world. Right. So flying there, you gain, but coming back, you lose. And I'll tell you about that later. But when you do, though, when you land, though, at 10:45 at night, your body thinks it's 10:45 in the morning back where it was 20 hours ago. So you're standing there at midnight wide awake because your body says it's 12 o'clock in the afternoon. So Saturday, I kind of slept a little bit during the day while they did all their work so I could kind of get acclimated to the... It took me about 3 days to... That ain't really jet lag. That's just totally something different than jet lag. I've had jet lag, but that ain't jet lag. That's like your body's going, you need to be asleep, and then you're awake. So, but 12 hours difference is what it does to you. So let's go now to Sunday. This is Brother Danny's church. He lives underneath. Land is at a premium with 12.8 million people wanting to live in the same 1 mile area. You know, or, well, not 1 mile, but 20 or 30 mile area. You see a lot of things stacked up. When Brother Dale was there, I think the church ended right here, somewhere close to that. Well, they've extended to make the pulpit, and they've got a balcony. So let's go to the next. And that's looking from the back to the front. Like I said, Brother Danny lives underneath the house. Then they have an outside courtyard down here. So go to the next slide. All right, this is when we first got started. The first thing I asked them, I don't know, some of you may have seen this online, But the first thing I asked them, I said, look, you see, all their songs are in English. They sing no song in Tagalog or any other language. All of them come up just like this. And they know when to clap. Huh? Oh, the light. They know when to clap. I said, y'all know when to clap and cry and everything else. I said, but then when I come up to preach, you gotta have an interpreter. I was intrigued because look, they would sing, they knew when to clap, they knew when to stop, they knew when to cry because it was a sad part of the song, you know, they knew when to worship. But when you get up there to preach, they go. So that was one of my questions that I asked them. I said, why in the world can y'all sing in English and now Brother Danny interpreted this night, but all the other nights I don't, because he has a bit of an older group. So the older group understands Tagalog and a little bit of English. The younger group, like Brother Royal has and Brother Vernon's really younger and more educated, they all are educated in English in the Philippines, but they still hold on to that. And I think Tagalog really, if Christine was here, it's a mix between Spanish, English, Portuguese. You just mix all that together. And because I can kind of understand what they're saying, knowing just a little bit of Spanish. But they had a real good Spanish influence. Actually, it was they were Spanish colonies back when they got established. And then, you know, we come over there in the 40s, liberated them and stayed there. Two big Air Force bases on the island. And we just, you know, flooded the island in the 40s. Actually, I talked to a man. There's a beekeeper friend of mine that he flew over there during the Korean War. Oh, no, the Vietnam War. We stayed over there in the Philippines because that was really close to Vietnam. He said they were actually telling that there would be signs that said, Americans, go home. We've had enough of you. So, but now that everything's okay. So I felt just as home there as I do here. So next slide. All right, that's when we're getting ready. Just keep going. That's Brother Danny that's beside us. This is a little bit of clip. That's the people.
God bless you all. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be back in the Philippines again.
They just put air conditioners in. See the air conditioners in the top? They helped maybe 5 degrees. Okay, maybe 10. But that's about it. But that was Sunday. He did not have an anniversary meeting. He had a Thanksgiving meeting. And there was people here and people down in the courtyard. So there's still a good many people. So that's me and Brother Danny trying to figure out what each other said.
And he brought us the picture that God had in his mind before the foundation of the world. And it wasn't something new. It always was in the Word of God. We didn't have to read a new Bible. We just had to have a change of eyesight. Amen. We could see in the Word what it was saying. But it took.
Okay, just keep going on through that. Well, Brother Danny, we had a good time there.
Eagles eat meat. Listen. You know the lion, ox, man, and eagle. The four combat beasts. Lion, ox, man, and eagle.
Just going through that. Save for time.
Feed a little milk. Feed a little milk. Feed a little milk.
I was trying to get the point. Even being over there, you know, you got different levels, and you gotta really preach to the whole group of people. That was Brother about. But you really need to be led of the Lord to do what you do, because you don't want to hurt people, but you want to make sure that they get everything. Hang on, go back to Brother JoJo. I want to show this is Daddy's friend. And these were all little bitty babies when they were over there before. This is Brother JoJo and his wife. He drove Dad around everywhere he went while he was over there. So he decided to be my driver. He'd come pick me up at the airport, and he drove me around. So, and I think his roof was leaking so bad that I think, Brother Dale, you paid to put a roof on his house, didn't you? Yeah. So it's still there. After about 14 years, it's still there. So that's them. They said to tell you all hello. Brother JoJo is actually that's Sister Isabella's brother. And they live right there at the church. So, all right, keep going. This is Sister Faith. This is Sister Isabella's youngest kid. She's crazy. See what I mean? It gets worse. That's her telling y'all hello. Oh, I guess they were showing from here to over here. The airplane flight took me to Seattle. From Seattle, we went around this way to, and I'm telling you, if you ever want to fly into South Korea, I had a problem. I thought maybe when I flew in South Korea, it was going to be like they were going to have to get the goats and the cows off the runway. It's the most beautiful airport I've ever seen in my life. Way prettier than Atlanta. They got gardens and trees growing in it. They're really, really nice people. But Korean Air is a different situation. Anyway, Korean Air is Korean hot air. Because from South Korea, then I stayed for an hour there. Last time I flew into Japan and flew, but we flew into South. I flew in here to save a little money. But you fly in here another 5 hours to get to the Philippines. There was zero air conditioning on that plane. I sweat in places I didn't know I had places. When I got finished, I thought I was in a sauna. Sure enough, I was bathed. I was like, Sister Frieda, they tell you to take that little pamphlet out and read it, you know, in case there's an accident, all these things you need to do and where the exits are. I know what it's for now. 5 hours I did this. And the guy sitting beside me was American, and he was helping every once in a while, you know. But it was not good. So, you know how everybody writes reviews? I used to never do that. I did. Korean Air got a review. But anyway, it wasn't working. But so what we done was is we took, there's some of the pictures. Hang on, just leave it right there. There's some of the pictures that didn't take they took, but they're sideways. So Brother Anderson couldn't fix them, and I don't know why they turned out that way. But after we finished at Brother Danny's, we left Brother Danny's Sunday night and went to Brother Royale's on Sunday evening. He has a little, about this size. It's got a bathroom and a place to sleep and a chair and a table and a couch for people come in like me and different ministers to stay in. So we stayed there Monday night. Tuesday morning, we got up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Now, we couldn't get to, we had paid for a church to be built where Mount Pinatubo used to be. I mean, this thing was a huge mountain, and it's like half of it's gone. So it's just a flat plain. They obviously, everybody got moved away from it, and they're called the AETA, Eta Indian tribe, and it's the original. They're a little old bitty. The guy I met, he was about this tall, about 70 years old, real deep set eyes, and he looked like a Negro. He looked just like black, kinky black hair, but he's the original Filipino tribe. Actually, the Eta tribe, when Americans went over there in the 40s, Japan was already there, obviously, you know, they'd already conquered the island. And the Americans come in a certain way, but they met this tribe, and that tribe taught the American soldiers how to survive in the jungles of the Philippines. So they really helped them out, because they do. They're hunters. They're fishermen. They survive off of pretty much nothing. But we went up. We left at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I say that laughing. We left at 4 o'clock in the morning because Brother Royale said it's a four-hour drive. We got to be there by 9 o'clock in the morning because you'll be speaking right around 9 o'clock. Okay, so we take off. I mean, 4 hours. We go, up there, like I told you. We actually went past Mount Pinatubo. We couldn't get there because the water was too high, and they had not finished the church yet, so we couldn't travel up there. You had to travel in one of those Jeep haulers that haul troops. You know what I'm talking about? Where the troops sit on each side. They climb up in the back. They're this high off the ground. That's the only way you can get there. And we couldn't do that. So anyway, we went close to it, and actually some of them from that church came down to the service. But Brother Anderson, we didn't get any pictures of that. None of those. They were all sideways. But this is us coming down to a place called Subic Base. Yeah, this is it right here. Sorry. Yeah, we did. All right, that's it. This is the Ekta tribe. Brother Royal brought three carloads of people. This is some of his people here, this brother here, the one taking the pictures. But all these others, you see, these are all the tribal people. Some of them traveled several hours to get there, but the funny part of it is, we get there at 9:05, and Brother Royal's like, we got to get out of the vehicle, because, you know, they've been there, started at about 8:30, and they're going to be waiting, and yada, yada, yada. We get there at 9:05, and there's no one there. So the little preacher guy walks up. He comes out of a house. He says, oh, we're trying to collect the people, and they're coming. Well, anyway, at 11:15, we got started. I said, so this island is just like Jamaica. If you say 6 o'clock, that is just a suggestion. Don't try that here. We start at 10. That's what I told him. I said, now, Brother Dale, don't make suggestions about time to be at church. I said, when he says 10 o'clock, we're going to be there at 10 o'clock or before. No, we got 11:15. We got started. I looked over Brother Well. I said, we could have slept 2 more hours. He said, oh, brother, don't worry about it. But anyway, so we had a good time with the tribal people. There was a lot of people that were not exposed to the message. They were doing this outreach to expose the people to the message. So I just did a real simple water baptism and a little bit of the Trinitarian doctrine and stuff just to, you know, get them kind of established. And we'll hear some more from that because there's several people. But Subic Bay is where we come back to. And Subic Bay is one of the bays that the Americans came in and built a big, all this behind here is a big Air Force base. It's run by the Philippines now, but it's all American. We built a base there, and there was a shipyard, and there was all kind of stuff. It's really nice, but it's called Subic Bay. And that's some of the brothers. Now, these people got up same time we did. These were sisters and brothers from his church that went with us that 4 hours up and 4 hours back. They brought all the equipment. They sang. They have a mobile unit like Brother Dick has, that just with the two speakers and they just set it up, and then they had that meeting. So eventually there was about 250 people showed up for the meeting there with the Ekta tribe. So that was Monday, and then this was coming back Monday. That's Monday evening. We didn't get back home till probably 10 or 11 o'clock Monday night from that four-hour trip back, because once we got coming back, we hit the traffic. So we were 5 miles an hour, you know. So, but that's just the way you deal with it. It lets you sleep for a little while. So now, if you want to, go to the Palawan map, and I'll show you. This place is, to me, it's a special place. If they'll pull up that, just I'll keep talking and you pull it up, but I want to show them where we're at, where we went to, because Brother Royal and I left Tuesday morning early. You can only get there two ways, and that's by boat or by plane. And this is the island here. There's 1,500 islands in Palawan. All right, so we flew from Manila to here. Puerto Princesa is almost in the middle of it, and that is a tourist town called Pretty Princess, Puerto Princesa. So that's where we flew from there to here on Tuesday morning, and then Tuesday afternoon is when we started our service. Now, this down here is not very inhabited, really mountainous this way. It's 30-something miles long, wide, 350-something miles to this one, and then those are included there, too. There was one brother came from, this is the island of Coron. If you've seen pictures of this place, it is beautiful. But Coron Island is off of Palawan, but it's part of the Palawan province. So they came in. The people come from here. The one I ministered the last time I was there, see, we left and come down into about right here, and we spoke in a couple of churches, and then we went up here and spoke in a church. So we were there for 3 days, but we did three services. Well, I only hit three places, but we had that one Mystery Expo in Port-au-Prince, right in a restaurant right on top of a hill, and there was 60 people there. And out of that 60 people that were denominational people, they were not message believers, 60 preachers, some of them were women, and we'll tell you a little story about that too, but some of them were women, and two of the three women quit preaching and converted to the message. But out of that 60 people, there were 20, I heard 26, I heard 29, but it's somewhere in the 20s. It's a phenomenal number. Number one, you can't get 60 denominational people together in America anyway. You sure can't get 60 message preachers together anyway. But there was 60 denominational preachers 3 years ago when we were over there, came to this Mystery Expo, heard the word of God, heard about a prophet. That's when I did the five comings of Elijah with them, and talking about the reason that the five comings had to be because of Elijah dealt with a good woman and a bad woman. Every Elijah that came on earth dealt with a good woman and a bad woman. Right? First one, second one, third one, fourth one, and even the fifth one. You deal with a bride, and then you deal with the other part, you know. So out of that, it's either 26 to 29 pastors converted to the message. So out of 60, that's almost half. And being almost half, that's pretty good. That's really good, actually. You just can't. I tell you what happened. You know, people get a zeal. Brother, as a brother from Ohio, he went to Manila 10 years ago, and he goes back to Ohio, and he's going to do this Mystery Expo. So he rents this big old building, and he's got this, you know, he sends out like 200 flyers to the denominational churches in wherever in part of Ohio he's in. And he rents this banquet building, and he's going to feed everybody and blah, blah, blah. One person showed up. One. That's how America is. That place, 60 people showed up on this island. On this island, 60 people, denominational, not even message believers. They were denominational people showed up to go to this Mystery Expo. Well, anyway, out of that, 20-something churches came out of that. Well, see, that's when Brother Royal called me back. Said, hey, I think we've got 20-something churches, and we're trying to get them established and thus and so. And so I told him, I said, well, that was my whole point of going back. I knew I didn't have 3 weeks like I did last time. I only had a couple of weeks, so I knew I needed to spend some time in Manila, but I wanted to spend 3 days here. Well, the only way I could spend 3 days here and have any impact on those preachers, pastors, preachers, was to bring them all into one location. So the church, Brother Dale, paid for us to bring them in by bus and by whatever how they could get there. And we fed them a few meals, rented this place, and I believe we really had a good impact on what went on because I didn't have to travel all over the island, number one. Number two, we were all... Now, you can go ahead and pull it up if you want to, where we were. This restaurant now, this is a different place than where we were. This is enclosed. It does have an air conditioner. Set it about 90. Set it about 90, because that's about what it was. But it was about 99 outside, so it felt pretty good. But these are all, now, some of them brought their wives. They were not supposed to do that, but some of them, just like us, don't pay attention. So most of these all are message ministers now that have converted. This is all message people that have converted to the message. And they were in that, I met several of the 20-something that come out. Some of these traveled, and you'll see some of the tribal people. Go to the next slide.
magsama tayo na
okay.
Ang Diyos nagbibigay sa atin ng proteksyon sa lahat ng ating mga ginagawa at lalo na sa ating mga travel.
Stop it right there.
Mula sa ating mga
All right. This brother right here is a brother that's way down in South Palawan. He's the one that I told you about him because when we did the Mystery Expo, he had just within the last month of being there, came out of a denominational church. He was a dean of a denominational Bible college. Him and his wife, he was the dean. He speaks real good English. They had a house, job, place to work. He accepted the message, and within a month, he was kicked out of the school, and he was kicked out of his house. It wasn't his house. It was the house of the denomination. They kicked him completely out. Well, thanks to some of you brothers sitting here today, you sent him enough funds to build him a church. And it is, I couldn't get a picture of it. I tried. Of course, we didn't go there, but somebody had a picture and I wanted to get it, but they never sent it to me. So, but it is they sit on bamboo seats and it's probably about half the size of this. And, it's just bamboo strips for the walls and thatch for the roof, but it was about $2,200 some of you brothers gave. So now he has a church, but he still does work. I called him the day before I left, and he was huffing and puffing. I said, "Brother Edward, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm climbing up a mountain, going to see some people up in there. No roads, 8-hour walk, no roads, going to visit a church that he had established in the southern part of the island." Now, this is Brother Lito Solo. All of y'all, most of y'all remember Fantasy Island? The plane. He looks just like him. Reminds me of him. But now, when you say that over there, they look at you like, "What are you talking about?" But he reminds me of that all. So I always say, "Dublin." But that's Brother Lito Solo. We give him money every month. And I'm telling you, this guy is a worker. He eats, sleeps, and breathes the message of the hour. And he's a real good brother. And he speaks like 8 different languages. The island of Palawan has 8 different dialects of one language. So when you go in different parts, you have to speak. And he speaks them all. So he's well received in Palawan. He does do work in Mindanao. He does do work in Manila. But he's everywhere. So we support him monthly with an amount of money that some of us couldn't live off a week with. He lives off a month. So, but you know what? I finally got to meet his wife. And I told her, I said, you know, I was thinking in my mind, I said, "I've met you probably as much as you met your husband in 3 years." Because he had not seen her in 3 months. When we were over there 3 years ago, Brother Lito was in Palawan for 3 months and he hadn't seen his wife in 3 months. That's just the way they are. And that Brother Rolando, Brother Landland that came here, his wife had a baby while he was gone. Didn't think a thing about it. They're just a little different than we are, I guess. But they have a passion for this message of the hour, I promise you that. And that's their life. They cut everything out except that. So let's go ahead and play that. This is their singing. Now, these are all message pastors and preachers at the moment. They're singing in English. See these brothers like that? Those are the old Indian. This brother out here is 81 years old.
I will bow myself down humbly at your throne. I will do anything. I will give everything.
So we brought them all in from the island and they all come to one place. We fed them lunch that day. And there's a whiteboard, and you know me, I love my whiteboard. It's right over here. So we had a good time.
I will bow myself down humbly at your...
That's Brother Royale talking. Go to the next slide. This brother right here, I was making a point about something. And this brother right here, he rides a motorcycle and he goes to church to church. He's an evangelist. But I want you to look. That's his quote book. I know some of you can't see that. But he physically wrote quotes from Brother Branham in this book. Can you make it, yeah, a little bit bigger? And yeah, there you go. He's got his Bible. He's got it underlined and, you know, colored. But he's reading quotes off of this book. How about that? All right. You do what you got to do. All right, let's go. And that's his dad. Actually, his daddy is the one that's the 81-year-old man. Now, hold it right. Expand it. So we're in the middle of this. I'm up here speaking. So we're in the middle of this thing. I had everybody was sitting down except this brother right here. This brother here, he comes walking in, and I said, "God bless you, brother." He looked like a message believer to me. I mean, he had short hair and didn't have an earring where he wasn't supposed to have it. So he comes in and sits down. Well, here I am, and I'm talking, and we're discussing how that God had, through Brother Branham, had restored the faith of the fathers, which were the original doctrines of water baptism, no eternal hell, no Trinitarian doctrine, you know, water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, brought all the major doctrines back. Well, everybody was amening, and they're, you know, they're reading their Bible, and they're following me all through this. And look, they all have cell phones, though. They might not have a car, but they got a cell phone. But actually, they have the message and the Bible in their cell phone, so they carry that with them, and that's what he's doing. He's following me as we're reading the Bible. So, and as like I was telling you before, when I went over there, I took some quotes and I took some sermons, but I really just didn't read any quotes from Brother Branham. Simply because these people, some of them don't have all the quotes. So we just stayed in the Bible. But anyway, so keep going. So this brother keeps up. Now, this is the same brother again. Now, let me give you a secret. You see this man right here? He's 81 years old. See that mop of hair he's got? 81. Now, that's his son talking. That's his son's up here talking. He's the pastor of a church, and this his son's the evangelist. But I'd ask him, I said, what? He spoke pretty good English. I said, what in the world did you do? He said, coconut oil. He said, I put coconut oil on my hair. He said, I eat coconuts. I drink coconut milk. Coconut oil, brother, that's what keeps your hair. And, you know, if you'll do some research, coconut oil is good for your hair. But anyway, he's 81. And look, I said, well, you're a picture of health. Do what?
Dale,
yeah, it's something Crixdale or something. Old Public Market. I don't know where he got that from. That's his wife sitting behind him. And she had a question, too. She had her arm took off because of cancer, so she didn't have but a half arm. We were talking about the second session. We were talking about the change of the body because somebody had asked a question about it. And she held that nub up. She said, well, I have this. I said, no, you won't have that. No. I said, you won't have that. All right, go ahead. So anyway, that was after the first session. But let me tell you, go back. Just leave it right there. That's where we stayed. That's kind of the bamboo. But that guy, that brother that was sitting over here, when I got finished, I said, is there anybody got any questions? I said, brother, what you got? He looked down and he said, what do you mean about this Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism? Number two, what do you mean there's no eternal hell? I thought right then, this guy ain't a message believer. He said, and number three, what about this Trinitarian? Yeah, that brother right there. Trinitarian doctrine. So I went through and I explained, and then that's when these other brothers began to help me explain to this brother about the major doctrines, because he was a Trinitarian. He was a, I don't know what denomination he was. But to tell you a little story, when we got finished, now he knew his Bible, because he would say, well, what about the on the River Jordan where the dove and the voice and there stands Jesus? Well, that's the one Trinitarians use all the time. You know, you got the Father talking out from here and the dove coming down, the Holy Spirit, and even the Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism. Now, no eternal hell, when he had a lot of scriptures about where the worm never dies and forever and ever, and that's when this other brother got up and started helping me out with the one about the no eternal hell, because he went through the Bible a little more than I did, because I didn't think we had enough time. But anyway, after we got finished, we come to find out, back when General Marcos took over the Philippines and and created martial law, he was a rebel against that. So he was a Marxist. And that's why he was so, if you'll read about it, read about Marx, he was under the Marxist doctrine. So he was comfortable with confrontation. He didn't mind it, because as soon as I said anybody got a question, I mean, it was like a spring went off, you know. And then he sat there just like that, though, and he said, oh, now what about, and what about? So anyway, after about an hour, he said, I see that you know your Bible. And he said, God bless you. Thank you. I'll think on these things. And so when it's over, he gets up and he walks back around, and I'm shaking everybody's hand to go out. Brother Royal and I were standing there together, and he looked at us and he said, I've never run across a denomination like yours. I thought, well, at least he's, I said, well, brother, at least you know there's a difference. We're not a denomination, but at least you know we're different. And I didn't know if he'd be back or not, but you know what? He came back the next day and went through the whole session the next day and really was listening. He was intent. So let's keep on going. I'll tell you what he said later on. Let's keep going. This is where we stayed. Thanks to Sister Chi-Chi, it had no hot water. So anyway, in this room, this is the courtyard. So this is kind of right here close to where we were staying. So this is where we were. Casa Linda Inn, don't ever go there. There was Americans there. There was really a lot of people from, now he was British. They go to this island it's a real big resort town for people from Holland and New Zealand and all the other places like that. So now these brothers right here are all tribal Indian preachers from the very south. Stop it right here. I asked that kid, I said, how old are you? And he had a look on his face I'd never seen before. He did not know the day he was born and did not know how old he was. This gentleman right here had to guess how old he was. That's how far, and I'll tell you about these brothers, they all came together. And our session was over on Wednesday night. A bunch of them got on a bus, an air-conditioned bus, and went back home. These brothers would not do that. They said, we're not riding in an air condition. It costs a little bit extra. They said, because air conditioning makes us sick. So they waited till the next morning. They all slept somewhere. I don't know where they piled up at. They all slept somewhere and waited till this open-air Jeep comes by and takes them 4 hours back home. But anyway, start it back again. But these brothers, these are from South Palawan, original island people. That's Brother Royal there. Now they're all message preachers. Now, stop it. This brother right here is a builder. We gave him, if you'll remember last time, it's been 3 years ago, I can't even remember the brother's name, but he only needed nails. He got plenty of wood. So anyway, we bought ever how many kilos of nails back then. Well, he has built 6 message churches since 3 years. He's built 6 message churches, and now he's starting on his own. So I took some of the money. Brother Ryan, I told you I was going to take some of your money. You said to give it to the people, so I'm just going to call you out. That man now has enough nails to build his church and 2 more churches. For just a couple of $100. $200 bought enough nails for him to build 3 churches with. Now that's nails. But anyway, that was some of the money that we left over there. But he finally is now building his own church. So keep going. But they're all tribal people. You see how they look? They're really dark. They're really short. But they all the ones that came from the very south part of the island of Palawan. And that's him there. That's when I gave him the money. And to finish his church and 2 others, a couple others. This is the second day session. Keep going. And this is, there's that same brother right there. He comes back. Right there. He comes back and gets a load, gets a second load. And there's Mr. Guy got all the hair in the world. And Brother Royale and myself. Now that's the front of the motel. That's some kind of bird, kind of like our hummingbird. But that's the older man's son. He's the one with the motorcycle. I gave him some money because he was, no, that wasn't him. It's another brother. But I gave him some money for traveling. I gave Brother Edward some for interpreting because he interpreted. That's the one that had the Bible college that now he's kicked out. But thanks be to God. You know how God takes care of people. His wife started her own private school, and they're growing in numbers. So I said, man, I said, you can't outgive God. God will bless you. Because when he was 3 years ago, he was a little bit depressed. I mean, even though you saw the message of the hour and saw the greatest thing there was, you know, his eyes were just open to the revelation of the message. But he didn't have a place to live. He didn't have a job. And he had nowhere to go. They literally kicked him off the campus and told him not to come back when he presented the message to the denomination. And I'm not going to call it a denomination because it really doesn't matter. But now he's established. His wife, he showed me many pictures of his wife that had got a Bible school, started on little bitty, you know, little small children, had graduations and all that stuff because they're really educated. And he still does the work on the island. That's Brother Leto. And this is, I'm trying to think of his name. But that's the brother that, when he come to that place right there, he told us, Brother Rail's taking the picture. He told us, he said, brothers, he said, I've been searching for truth. He said, I know there was more. He said, I went to the Jehovah's Witness. He said, I went to one of the Jehovah's Witness meetings. He said, they told me to be quiet. You know, I mean, he was outgoing. He was a Marxist. This guy was a rebel. So he would ask questions freely. They actually told him to be quiet. He went over to, that was Jehovah's Witness. He went over to Seventh-day Adventist. They told him he couldn't come in anymore. So he goes over to a Life Church, which is kind of it's a big church in Puerto Princesa, kind of like our, like Jensen Franklin's. I don't mean to call his name, but you know, just a free chapel. This is called Life Church. So he goes into Life Church and he begins to ask them questions about certain doctrinal issues. And he was confronted by the deacons and said, oh, you've got to attend our church 14 services. I don't know where they got 14. Maybe they're in the 14 seals. I don't know. But you've got to come to our church 14 services before you can ask any questions. He said, I was standing up. He said, a deacon physically grabbed me by the legs and set me down and told me to shut up. He said, when I walked into your place, he said, y'all so graciously answered every question I had. Told me with the love of the Lord. He said, whatever you got, in other words, it's not verbatim, but whatever you got, I have never seen it before. He said, every denomination and all the other churches I've been to, I'll ask them certain things and said, it's like, you know, the plague. He said, but you, with open arms, he said, you answered all my questions. You did not answer them out of anger. You answered everything I asked. And he said, if I've seen the love of Christ, I've seen it today. That's what he said. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's good enough for me. And Brother Royale, Brother Royale's on vacation, so I hadn't called, it hadn't bothered him, but I'm going to call him back. They exchanged numbers. There is a church in Puerto Princesa, but there's like 20-something churches in Palawan, so he's got a choice there. We connected him with one of the pastors, so we'll see. But, you know, as far as one thing's for sure, he knows that we're different. And that's the only thing I care is that somebody knows that we're different. Like somebody was saying the other day, to be Christ-like is to be a Christian is to be Christ-like. Are we Christian enough to be Christ-like?
Right.
You know, that's a true statement. And I think we, as a collective group, because what happened was because of the language. Now he spoke good English, but his number one language is Tagalog. So I let them kind of this brother here. You know, He said, can I say something? I just said, sure. I said, man, you speak his language. So he goes so fast because I'd have to stop and somebody would interpret, you know, and I'd have to stop and somebody would have to interpret. But this brother here, he runs down through the Bible about the forever and ever and about eternal and about God. And you know, the guy really understood. And that's what, in other words, everybody was in unison with each other. There was no argument in the, you know, the 50 preachers. So he saw that, and he saw the love of God, not just by words. He saw actions. So being seeing the actions, he really enjoyed being there. So that was the last. This is kind of, when is this? This is the evening. We didn't have an evening session because we wanted everybody to get home. But this is right at Puerto Princesa. This is the tourist section. All the tourists here, and then it's just a row of mountains, kind of like it is in Jamaica. You got your big mountains right in the middle of it. But that's Brother Edward and Brother Royal. So go ahead. This is just a little video of the kind of a little boardwalk, places to eat. We found a little spot to eat down there. All fresh fish, obviously.
Bird.
It's just.
This is in.
It's a nice place. I mean, it's really not. But you go 5 miles out of the. Out of the city, and it's back to rural huts and shacks.
The Baywalk.
So,
excuse me.
It's a Baywalk. It's a tourist place, but it's all just right there close together. Kind of like it is in all other places, even like Jamaica. You go to Montego Bay and you go to the Ocho Rios. It's wonderful right inside because that's where all the Americans go. But you go outside where me and Brother Dale go up in the mountains up in there, and you're in a whole different world. You're in, you know, the jungle. So we had a little bit of crab and a little bit of, that's called a Dano Lake. That's a unicorn fish. It grows a horn like a unicorn. See it right there? But it grows on out. When they blackened it, it cuts off, but it was way on out like this. So we ate a, Dano, we ate a unicorn. Okay. So anyway, it was a unicorn fish. All right. Let's go to the next slide. Then we had a day to rest. We went to the Palawan Wildlife Rescue and Conservation Center. So we just kind of took a day Thursday. Our flight wasn't until later in the afternoon. So Brother Royal and I, he had never been to this place. So we just took a time and asked some people where to go. So that is a 16 and a half foot crocodile. And that's his skin up here on the top, minus the head. The head's right here. You know, this part's on out here. Anyway, all right, keep going. So they raise crocodiles. Those are baby crocodiles. So just keep going. Keep going. Just keep turning through. They're saltwater crocodiles. That one's 15 feet long. That one's 14 feet long. That one's about 14 feet long. And these birds are mockingbirds, but they don't talk English. So I would say something, they'd go, "What?" Just kidding. That was kind of funny, wasn't it? What? But Brother Royal would talk to him in Tagalog, like, "I love you" in Tagalog. And he'd say that, and they'd say the same thing, like, "I love you. I love you." But anyway, this is from the Garden of Eden. That's a boa. That's a albino boa constrictor. Thank God it was in a cage. All right, keep going. Yeah, that's all snake. Every bit of that is, yeah. So anyway, they had a little place. This is a real crocodile. Those are real people. So that's a real person. I had crocodile for lunch. But that's a little one compared to the others. Then we go to this place here. This is a, he's kind of like was a senator. But he got in good with the Americans. He was a business owner. Well, this is the place you go, and he's already passed away. But this is the place where he's right on top of a hill, and you can see all the way around. So we took a few hours and went there. So they had these beautiful flower arrangements. They do those arrangements every day. That's flowers floating in water. They're not attached. But it's an arrangement that they physically hand make every day. It's really beautiful. All right, go ahead. So now I think we are flying out Thursday and going to Brother Vernon's, I think it is, the next one. So here we meet up to eat. That's Brother Landland, you remember him. Myself, Brother Vernon. Well, that's the two bishops over there. I'll tell you about it in a minute. But see right here? Brother Nestor's so proud. He is now on the Committee Council of Bishops of the Philippines. So he's a licensed and authorized bishop. Word Message Believers Ministries International. And he's got a partner. Brother Vernon is now a licensed and authorized bishop. They do that so they can move around the island a little bit better. They can show that card and move around the island a little bit better and not hassle by. Because look, End Time Council of Bishops of the Philippines, that's the name of the place. That's not what they came up with. That's the name is End Time Council of Bishops of the Philippines. And it gives them rights to marry and gives them rights to do funerals. It's kind of like, you know, in Jamaica, Brother Keith was supposed to have one of them, remember, but Brother Skyers does the, he does it under his license. Well, they've got their own license now where they can do that. So I'm thinking about getting me one. But so Brother Vernon, on Friday night, he has a Bible study. And it's at a home, it's at a business not too far from that center where you were, a couple of buildings over. This guy right here is the, like, vice president of the whole company, and he got brought into the message about a year ago. Brother Vernon, through some people, connected with him and brought, actually, Brother Royal's daughter worked for him for a time because she's a, what do you call, civil engineer. Engineer. So this is before the church started. We're at Brother Vernon's, and he said, well, we're having Friday night service. He said, just come over and you can speak for us, because I wasn't going to be there during a weekend service. Go ahead, next. Well, there we are singing in English again. So now we're speaking, and then we had a little board over here. We could use it. And I took Revelations 5. And the whole theme of the whole part I wanted to let people know was, just like I've been trying to tell all of you guys and all of us here, we are not a second person of a Trinity. We're not a second person of nothing.
Amen. Right.
We are the person of Christ made right. manifest in another Amen. Form called a bride.
Right.
We are the I am of the day.
Right.
Amen. We came from God. We go back to God.
Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And if that's too hard for you to swallow, then you got a real problem. Because it's like I was telling them downstairs, if we keep going into this social gospel that we've been in for 50 years, I'm sorry, of hair and dress and do's and don'ts and this and that and the other, we're Holy Ghost people, but we're going to just die and go by the grave, and then it's just going to keep going. But listen, there's not another generation. This is it. So we must... Brother Branham, I did not take this quote with me, but I heard the other day, you've heard it 100 times and I've heard it 100 times, 1,000 times. When the bride realizes who she is, right, and what she's doing here. But now what's another quote? Brother Branham says, when the bride begins to say, I and my Father are one, and these other things. So it's obvious that they hadn't been saying it before. When the bride starts to say, I and my Father are one, and these other things, the shuck will pull away. Well, that's what's going to happen. I'll promise you.
Amen.
This church, any church, you see people falling away, that shuck.
Yep.
The original seed word will absolutely be the seed word.
Amen.
And we will receive the seed word. And it will not harm us to say, I and my Father are one.
Right,
it will not harm us to say, I am that I am.
Right.
But I know my position. That's what I was telling them there. In Revelations 5, you got one sitting on the throne, but you got one taking the book from the one sitting on the throne. Same person, but it's just positions.
Right.
And we know our position. There's no way we can be the physical God. No, that's not what I'm saying.
Right.
But because he's inside of me,
glory.
Once he goes inside of you, how can you find him and separate him from you again?
Right.
We were separated. We were alienated from God.
Right.
before our new birth. But by the new birth, you and I are sons and daughters of God. We are God made manifest in another form called a bride. We are the I Am of the hour. We are the Joshua generation. We are that group of people that's going to say, I and my Father are one. Now, how close is that? I and my Father are one. And these other things, the shuck will pull away. Because you know what's going to happen? The shuck won't be able to chew it. The shuck won't be able to swallow it. The shuck will be have to pull away to show the true grain. And the true grain is the one that can stand in the end time and say, I come from God, I go back to God. And then I taught them our little slogan, who's going to take a body change? I am. I am is going to do the body change. And I can't change my body. You can't change your body. But the I am can change your body. And when you become the I am on the earth, because there's not going to be another I am here. I hope y'all catch that when Brother Dale's talking about all in all. He's all in all in us. This too. Amen. This used to be owned by somebody else. Right. Now God owns this. Amen. Amen? God owns this now. The whole thing. That's why Brother Branham stood one day and said, I found out I'm not the son of Charles and Ella Branham. Now look, he didn't take a body change right then. Right? He died and went on by the grave because he was prophesying. But you and I must realize that our mom and daddy sure brought us here. But once God comes in and I saw a sign in the Philippines and I should have took it. It says, we vulcanize here. Oh, I should have took that picture, Brother John. You remind us if we ever go back over there. I want, because we drove by and I thought, what did that sign say? We vulcanize here. Remember Brother Branham said, you vulcanize. When God comes in, he vulcanizes himself with you. Well, what does he do? Takes rubber and rubber and vulcanizes it together. You can't pull it apart no more. That's why some will be able to catch it and some won't. And the some that don't won't take a body change. That's just the way it is. I mean, that's just, this message was not to help us live better. This message come to, the message the prophet brought was to change our body.
Amen.
It was to change our nature and change our body and give us a new way of thinking.
Right.
Now, like I said, that's the essence of this message. The essence of this message is to get our bodies lined up with what's already inside of us.
Right.
What's already inside of us.
Glory.
All right. So that's kind of what I brought to them, even in Revelations 5, how that the book being worthy and the one that took the book was worthy. So the book obviously must be worthy. So we'll get into that in Revelations 5. Bella's not here, but that's Bella when she was a baby. Brother Roel has that. Now, that we finished at Brother Vernon's that Friday night, had a good time. Then Saturday, we took a day to just refresh a little bit more and kind of travel around with Brother Vernon and some of the other brothers. And then Saturday evening, we get ready because I got to do both services for Brother Roel on Sunday. So I go into the study and I see this picture on the wall and I said, that's gotta be Bella. He said, yeah, I look at it every time. Cause you know, they're kin to each other. Sister Christine's mama and his mama were sisters or something, or something in there. So they're cousins, but that was Bella. This is, stop it right here just a second. This is a special room that Brother Royale built in this, in the church on the second floor for just the musicians. And the song leaders, and you're going to see some singers sitting down here, they go in there on Saturday night, every Saturday night, and they practice. All the songs they're going to do for Sunday, they come and they practice. Now you say, well, these are all young kids. This brother's married, that brother behind there's married, that brother's married. Brother Ivan's not married. But they get together and they do all, they got a soundboard, they got all the stuff, they got their little thing there on the wall, they got their parts that they sing right here. Go ahead. So they practice. Now this guy right here is having a good time. He was a song leader. Or he is a song leader. This is Brother Rocky's son right here. That one. But we just went up there and he said, I want you to come up here and hear the people singing, you know, the songs they're going to do for the next day. But they got them all written here. And like I said, these guys, brothers, they don't look like they're married. They look like they're kids. But maybe it's that coconut oil. There's going to be a mad rush for coconut oil. So anyway, this is at Brother Royal Sunday morning. We're getting ready for service. The theme is Joshua Generation, 40 years of reaching out. Got my name down here and all this other stuff. But these are all the elders in Brother Royal's church here. This is his daddy that started the church 40 years ago. He started it. And then you got all these workers in the church. That's Brother Royal's 86-year-old father right here. So anyway, this is Sunday morning.
And it's 11:30 at night, so they're 12 hours behind. So we're going to get started real quick and try to found worthy to open this seal so that you can see what was on the inside. If we had things that were sealed up. Mighty God, he's this man in another form. Stand, because we're living. If we're in, thou must prophesy. Now, the next time that book appears, we're the throne. Needs today, Father. We pray that you just bless ones of us that are born again, Lord, and we have need.
That was Sunday morning. And I'll tell you something about Sunday morning. Sister Chi-Chi leaned over to me and she said, "We're not having no famous preacher here no more." I said, "Well, when's he showing up?" What happened was a lot of people heard that I was coming. So in other words, this just Sunday morning, supposed to only have been about like 150 to 200 of the regular people. And then they were going to feed them and then have the meal for 600 that night. There was 400 people showed up that morning. They had to feed them and had to go get some more food for the 600 coming that night. So she said, "We ain't going to have no more famous preachers in here in the morning." I said, "Well, we won't. When he shows up, we'll talk about it." All right, this is the evening service. All singing in English. That's Brother Royal's daughter, Paula, with the microphone. And then that's Brother Royal talking about the... Now, his dad, they rolled him out there and gave him the microphone. And he's got a little bit of dementia at 86. He's probably got a lot of other things, but that's okay. This guy starts preaching. Brother Royal standing behind him going, "Get the microphone. Get the microphone." So a guy reaches over from here and grabs the microphone. Well, you ought to seen the look on his face when that guy grabbed the microphone. The guy gets the microphone and he's going, like, "What? I'm just getting started." But that's Brother Royal's dad, and they gave him plenty of... That's Brother Rocky's son. And then that's a collage they did. That's coming out to preach that evening. And that's all ministers in the back. They got people here sitting on the balcony. They got about 300 people on this side over here. outside the church.
Anyway, don't laugh. But we come to this.
You can't hear good because I had on a lapel mic.
Kind of get you out of yourself.
Anyway, we preached a little bit there, so that's okay. Oh, no, okay. They were presenting this to Brother Royal for 40 years of service.
Your unwavering passion for the ministry and relentless desire to share the gospel of grace.
They showed some pictures of Brother Royal. Good grief, he was a little bit of kid.
For your tireless sacrifices, the blood you've been given, your faithful leadership, your friendship, your humility, and your uncompromising stand for the message of the hour. Thank you. How beautiful are the people of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Romans 10:15. Given on this special day of the 40th anniversary of the Church of the
Order. He's got a real good core of ministers in his church, too. Now, that church is mission-minded, is one thing for sure. I was telling him while he's talking, I don't understand anyway what he's saying. But, The money we send more probably to the Philippines than we do anywhere. But the money is not for them to have fineries. They take every dime of that and they turn it back into mission work. Every dime of it goes to mission work. Brother Vernon gives us a complete list of all the things it's used for, and it's not to buy fineries for themselves. It's to use to go do the mission work. This is Brother Lito, and this is his wife. That's Brother Rocky's oldest son. How old do you think he is? Okay, he's 45.
No.
Yes, he's 45 years old. Because he's the oldest. He's 45, 42, and 35, I think. Yeah, they all look like babies. I said, you can't be Brother Rocky's son. Not oldest son, but yeah, this one took over for Brother Rocky when he died. I know some of you don't know Brother Rocky, but he was kind of our favorite. He was a tall Filipino, and he could sing, and he just had a nature that was just smooth. He's preached here a couple of times, sang some songs with Brother Danny here when they came by one time. So anyway, this is what they gave me. Gift of appreciation. Appreciate your tireless effort in ministering to the saints in the Philippines, for your dedication to the mission, and for being our brother and friend. Thank you. So that's when they gave that to me. They didn't show that on there. But anyway, so now, go to the next one, which is nothing. That's it. Monday was a rest day. They put me up. This is kind of a tradition. You saw us at first when we were all meeting when we first got there. What we usually do is we sit down, and you know me, I don't like to just say, it is what it is. I don't like to even like that phrase. But no, I want to go over there with an agenda. I want to go over there and know what we're going to do, know who's going to pick me up. I'm kind of like mom in the way. That way I want to know what time we need to leave, what time we got to get there. So Brother Nestor, Brother Danny, Brother Vernon sitting over here, Brother Rel, he'd already flown to Saigon. So he was gone, but usually we meet together when we begin and we meet together when we leave. So this is at a Pizza Hut. They wanted to feed me some American food before we left. I guess pizza's not American food. And I said, this is not American food. This is Italian food. So anyway, but we met there, and there's some of the other brothers. This is the brother here that, this is brother Don Don. He lives at Dingalon. He's got a church there that Brother George Quinn helps with. This is a brother that was in the military with Brother Vernon, and he's the one that helped me get in that real nice motel that we stayed in. So look, these guys, this is a 5-star hotel in a casino, sorry. But they bought it for me. They all took up money and bought that room for me. And it was, I don't know how much it was, but these two brothers this is the head of security. And he's a deacon and a song leader in Brother Vernon's church. And this brother is a deacon in Brother Vernon's church. I think he's a deacon. If not, he's something important. But they are the head of security for that whole... in 2014, when this hotel was built and casino, Brother Vernon, they called him in to lay out all the security, the cameras, the video. Everything was set up by Brother Vernon. So everybody in that hotel knows Brother Vernon. Well, he got these two brothers' job there, so he became now the second in command in the whole place, the whole unit, and he's third in command. So when I pull up in Brother Vernon's car. Obviously, everybody knows Brother Vernon. But these two guys reach and get me out of the car, and they got their little, you know, their little FBI things on, you know. And they grab me and they grab my equipment, you know, my stuff, and they take me right over and put me in front of the desk to check in. And I didn't have to say a word. They said, well, we need the room key. I mean, you just got the key. And then they turned me around and walked me into the elevator, walked me up into this room, and stood at the door for a minute, you know, till I got everything in. And I'm like, yeah, baby, this is good. Because I remember last time I stayed there, I stayed at Brother Royal's Sunday night. Well, from Brother Royal's to the airport, it's not but 15 miles, but it takes you 2 hours to get there. Like I always said, you know, it's just you don't get anywhere fast in the Philippines. So my flight was early, so we had to leave at like 4 o'clock in the morning, and I had just finished doing that service. It had been 3 weeks. I was a wrung-out rat. Well, Brother Vernon said, Well, I set it up where I could leave on Tuesday at about 12 o'clock. And I'll tell you a story about that, and then I'll be done. I won't have to do this on Wednesday. It's 4 o'clock. But anyway, they put me up in this motel 5 minutes from the airport. It actually, from that casino, they built, like they did at General Motors, they built a complete ramp that goes right from the motel right over into the airport. So I was right, I mean, this brother here picked me up at 7:30 in the morning, and I was in the airport in less than 5 minutes. Checked in and ready to go. I was so rested. This place was a night. The bed was just a fabulous place to sleep. So, and I told them I'd pay for it. They said, no, lighting is really bad. But that's some of the brothers that we met there. But this is the room. Okay.
I'm not going to show this to everybody. But
yeah, I said I wasn't going to show this to everybody, but
Brother Vernon,
I have my own robe.
Some of the brothers.
Bathrobe. Toilet.
Hotel.
Hot water.
In Manila. And it's attached to a casino. That's 13.
I got in that tub for about 2 hours.
And they got me this room for one night.
They had the little bath salts and all that
security,
stuff.
Which I have pictures, the head of security and the second in command.
Yeah, it's pretty.
They are both believers.
And the airport's just right there. I mean, you could see the planes taking off from where you were.
Here to take care of
but I tried my best to pay for this room. I had a little bit of money left over, and Brother Vernon said, no, you've done enough for us here. We want to put you up.
So early, and we're going to
have
supper tonight.
I doubt there was any heat. They don't need it. But
lobby.
And I started to take a picture. I opened up the little mini refrigerator, Seagram's, Jack Daniel. In that refrigerator, yeah.
Beautiful view outside.
But it's not complimentary. You got to buy it. But they had beer and everything in there. They had lager and all stuff. I said, man. So anyway, so this is what we went and had this supper that night, and it was totally paid for by the believers over there, and. That's the brother that he was working, head of security. He was working. And at that moment, we got to meet. There was an Australian guy. I mean, his guy's about 6'6". He was the general manager for all Hyatt motels in the Philippines and all of that Asian group. Really important guy. He knew Brother Vernon because Brother Vernon had to deal with him for several months setting up all this security stuff in this hotel. This is a Hyatt hotel. They wanted a Hyatt hotel because they wanted an American presence. Because they wanted Americans to come and spend the money in the casino. So they put a Hyatt hotel. Actually, there's three hotels attached to that middle part of the casino. This one's on this side. There's another one that's a Filipino one on this side. And I don't know what this one is on this side. But a lot of people were there. A lot of foreigners like Americans and all. But then we flew out Tuesday morning. And I'll tell you a little story about that. Because the international dateline's right over here somewhere. Somewhere close. And so when I got up at 7:30 out of that motel, I got up at 7:30. We ate at 7:30. Got up at 6 o'clock. Watched the sun come up. Now, this is Tuesday morning. Sun come up on Tuesday morning. I'm sitting here in Manila. Sun comes up. So I fly up to South Korea, 5 hours. All right? So by the time I fly to South Korea here, I fly here, it's like, I left at 12:30. It's like 5 something in the afternoon. Had to wait for 2 hours, so it was like 7 o'clock. Sun was going down on Tuesday. Got it?
Yeah.
Sun was going down on Tuesday afternoon. All right, so I fly from here to Seattle, Washington. The sun goes down and sun comes back up while we're about right here. And I'm still on Tuesday. So we fly into Seattle and it's daylight. So I wait for an hour there, get on another plane to Atlanta, and by the time I get from here to Atlanta, it's Tuesday night at 11 o'clock. So the sun came up, went down, came up again, and went down by the time June picked me up at 10:45, Tuesday night. So I watched the sun come up and set in one day. Tuesday lasted forever. So, but anyway, that's it. And you know, this is all you guys, because without your support, I mean, a lot of you gave monetary support, and I know y'all prayed, I want to read you a couple of Brother Rail that sent me a message. See if I can find it. I'm sorry, I have my phone. And it's on. I can do this one time. Brother Royal. Hello from Saigon. Good deal, Brother Wade. The Lord's been good. You're home with your sweetheart. We are relaxing in Saigon. Brother Wandy had a successful surgery. That was a brother in the church. The saints are still messaging us on how powerful the services were. Thank God for that. All is good by God's grace. And he said, I've never heard it so simple. Brother Danny said, Brother Wade, we prayed for your safe travel. Thank you so much for the time you spent with us and the spiritual blessings you shared with my people. How I wish you could linger more time with fellowship and a private moment to discuss things. But the Lord knows. Looking forward to seeing you again if the Lord tarries. You made a special impact on my family. That's what I like. You made a special. Sometimes that's good, sometimes it's not. Please bring greetings. I want to read this to Sister June, Brother Sam, Sister Peggy, and every believer in Lula. So Brother Danny's, I told him, I said, Brother Danny, you know, some of them may be over here. Brother Danny's just a real solid brother. Just a real solid brother. So we are pleased to be back. Good to be back. Wow. It was a good trip, though. But I wanted to make it so simple, but yet we covered seals. We covered Revelations 5. We covered, you know, it wasn't any vanilla. It was the meat of the word. And that's what they need. They need the meat of the word. You talk about refreshing when you stand in front of 50 message pastors or preachers, and none of them had been in the message over like 5 years. They all came from those mystery expos that Brother Royal went over there before me. Before we were over there, he did some mystery expos. Then we did the one when I was there. And then they've done one or two after that. They've gleaned 50 new message churches that are like 5 years and younger on that one island. Now, to me, that's phenomenal. It would never happen in the United States. You know that. But there, it's just like they just keep giving reports of another church being built and another church being, in other words, being established. And, you know, I kind of thank God that they kicked them all out. I really do. You know, if we'd get kicked out of some place, it'd make you feel better. But with them, it's the same word we got. They got to grow just like we grow. They do not have the facilities we have. Now, we did give them, remember, y'all bought 50 tablets. They have wore them out. 3 years, they've wore them out. It only had the message on it. It was a little tablet about this big that the message was on. And they've wore them out. Some of them said they just wore them out and the battery doesn't even work anymore. So we may want to try to discuss later on. There was no one asked for it. It's just they told me that they had wore some of them out. And it's just for the message. There's no other apps or anything. It's just for the message. Now, Voice of God's doing that now, so we might try to, I'll get with Brother Joe and we'll talk about it. But let's stand to our feet. God bless you. Thank you for your patience. Thank you, number one, for your prayers and your support. Without your support, I couldn't have done this. And the support of the church, thanks to Brother Dale, who's as mission-minded as any message church preacher I know of. And Brother Royal being very, and all of them are mission-minded. I mean, as soon as I left, Brother Vernon went somewhere. Down in south of down close to Mindanao, Brother Royal went to Saigon, and you know, each one of them had something to do. Brother Danny was going on up north again. They don't sit around. I mean, their job is to get the message out to the believers. So we thank God for that. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Lord, if we've said anything, it's not come to mind or memory. We're sorry. We're human, and we do appreciate, though, the time that you've given us to go over there, Lord. May we always keep them in our prayers, Lord, because prayer is the most powerful thing. It will help them in time of need, whether their need be anything financial or anything spiritual or whatever, Lord. We know you're the same God in the Philippines as you are here. Lord, we pray that you would be with the people now. Take care of them on the highways, some of them going on vacation. Lord, we ask you to just bless them now. Thank you for this opportunity to stand before the greatest crowd on the face of the earth. The bride of Jesus Christ. I truly mean that, Lord. This is the place to be. is to stand in front of your people and to deliver a message. The message of the hour that's going to make us into that all in all. Father, give us, Lord, our daily bread. Give us of our trespasses. Bless anybody that's sick, Lord, that needs prayer, Lord. We pray right now in their seat, Lord, that they would receive what they ask for. Anything, Lord, the Gentile way. We pray that you would supply that need, Father. Just be with each one of us, Lord, as we come back together on Wednesday. Like I said before, many are going to be out and gone, Lord. Just protect them on the highways. Give them a safe time. Take a little rest and relaxation, Lord, and kind of rejuvenate and freshen up and get ready to start again, Lord. We ask you to just be with our pastor. Bless him. I believe with all the ones that hear, Lord, just keep us all strong. We're heading into a stretch, Lord, that it's going to be the horseman, I believe, not the footman. It's going to be a race to the end, Father, and I pray that you have put us in this position to fulfill that, because someone will finish the race. And Father, I pray that it's each one in this building, Lord. Just be with us, lead us, and guide us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you. Yep. Give the Lord a hand clap, praise.